Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no-apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. There was something different in the way that Jesus taught in the synagogue, and the people who heard him knew it immediately. In today's message, we're going to look at how, as the very Word of God, Jesus had perfect authority to speak on God's Word and to speak God's commands to all creation. And we will also look at what Christ's authority means for us today and take a hard look at whether we accept his authority or would rather have the Word of God diluted to meet our satisfaction. So grab your Bible, turn it to Mark chapter 1, and prepare your heart and mind as we examine the authority of Christ. Now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Mark chapter 1. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's found on page 35 of the New Testament. As we continue through this Epiphany season, the season after Epiphany, we are looking at what it means to be a disciple. The people that Jesus called to be his disciples were just regular folks. They weren't religious. They weren't classically trained or educated. They were just ordinary people with ordinary lives and ordinary jobs. And Jesus called them to be students, to be followers of him, and to listen to his words. And so we listen to his words today. Let us hear from the word of the Lord for us this morning, beginning at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. Though your message is strong, your messenger is weak, so I ask, Lord, that you would speak the word of truth to our hearts this morning. Build us up that we may be your church, extending your love and healing to all who seek it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last year this time, I talked to you about the Super Bowl, about the Seahawks and the Denver Broncos, and I don't think it's any mystery that the Super Bowl went very well, as far as I'm concerned. Last year, the Seahawks brought the hammer, and today I brought a hammer. Anybody know what this is? It's a meat tenderizer, that's right. It's not an ordinary hammer. You wouldn't use this for drywall or roofing. I guess you could, but that would kind of defeat the purpose. But this is a meat tenderizer. And what a meat tenderizer is used for, well, I guess the name kind of gives it away, doesn't it? It's for tenderizing meat, right? You take this and you beat on a piece of meat until the fibers in the meat are separated, and it makes the meat very easy to digest, right? You use this for a tough piece of meat, you know, something that's cheaper, something that is a little less expensive. And you could beat on the meat, and it makes it very tender, almost like a filet mignon. But that's what a meat tenderizer is used for. I took this from our kitchen today. I didn't tell my wife I was taking it, so I better put it back where it belongs. But I want to think about this, about what it means to tenderize the meat. And how does that tie in with my message today, which is about the authority of Christ? We're going to see. I want to look at this text for us today. It says that when they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. One of the things that Jesus would do as an itinerant rabbi is everywhere he would go, on the Sabbath, he would enter the synagogue. Now, the local synagogue was very much like the local church here, except in the Jewish society, the synagogue was the place where they would gather from week to week to hear the Word of God opened up to them and expounded. Today, we have in our possession the Bible. There's probably a Bible in each one of your homes. And even if there isn't one in book form, you can download an electronic version of the Bible on your smartphone, carry it with you everywhere you go. But in Jesus' time, they didn't have copies of the Bible in every home. Not the way that we know of it. Bless you. And one of the things that the printing press has allowed for us to have is mass-produced Bibles. The Holy Bible is the most reproduced, the best-selling book in all of the world, in all of history. You know, there are books on the New York Times bestseller list every single week, but the Bible is a book that is the best-selling book of all time. Millions and millions and millions of copies have been reproduced and sold throughout history. But in Jesus' time, that wasn't the case. The only place where you could find a written copy of the Word of God was in the synagogue or in the temple. But in the local place, it was the synagogue. And it would be handwritten, hand-copied. Now, when we hear that these copies were hand-copied, we might erroneously think that there would be mistakes in the copying. After all, we're not very good at typing. They didn't have spell checkers, right? When they wrote a word on the page, it wouldn't be underlined in red if it was spelled incorrectly. But they were so meticulous. And they were meticulous because it was the Word of God that they were copying. And who would dare to make a mistake when they were copying the Word of God? They were very, very careful. They would look at one character, and then they would copy that one character. And then they would look at another character and they would copy that character. They had checks and balances to make sure that what they were copying was absolutely correct. In the medieval times, it took an entire, what was called a scriptorum. 40 monks in a room working from sun up till sundown, interrupted only by mealtimes and times of worship. All day long they would work. As long as there was light, they would copy and copy and copy. And it would take 40 monks working for an entire year to make one single copy, handwritten, of the Holy Bible. And then Johann Gutenberg came along and made 50 copies in 1 year by himself with his printing press. In Jesus' time, people didn't have the written Word of God at their easy disposal. So, they went to the synagogue, where someone would take a scroll out of its place on the wall, and they would unroll it, And wherever they opened it, that's where they would read. And that's what Jesus would do. Every Sabbath, he would go into the synagogue to teach this way. Verse 22 says, "They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes." The scribes were lawyers. The scribes were people who knew the word because they copied it. They knew it. But Jesus was the author of the word. Who better to expound on the word of God than the living word of God himself? The book of John tells us that Jesus was the word made flesh. It says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. Jesus is the very word of God. He teaches as authority. He teaches not just as an interpreter of law, but as the lawgiver and the judge. He was the authority. There was something different about the way he taught. Think about it. Every week the people would come and they would hear the word read and then expounded upon, interpreted by these scribes, by the ones who would interpret the law, the lawyers. What was so different about the way that Jesus taught them? He taught them as with authority. He had the authority to teach them the Word of God because he was the Word of God. Then we are told in verse 23, "Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit." Now, such a person would not even be allowed in the synagogue because he was unclean. And being unclean, he would not be allowed in the service. Imagine, if you will, if a drunk were to come in here and disrupt the service in the middle of the service. And it's happened. I know that it's happened on occasion. Maybe not here, but elsewhere. Where someone just walks in and starts yelling. I've seen it happen. You know? What do? It's an uncomfortable time. Here this person is up expounding the word, this teacher, and everybody is focused on them. And then somebody comes in and starts yelling at the preacher. He says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You can imagine the people as they were sitting there. We came to hear teaching. We didn't come to hear the rantings of a lunatic. I wish that person would sit down and shut up. Can't we go back to listening to the Word of God? This man was teaching beautifully. And now, all of a sudden, this vile person has interrupted us. But Jesus, he sees it as an opportunity. He rebuked him. He said, "Be silent and come out of him." Now that command to be silent has also been translated as "hold your peace." Hold your peace. In other words, he was telling the unclean spirit, "Don't speak in this manner to me." Not just to be silent. If he had told him to be silent, then when he cast him out, he would not have uttered a sound. But what he was saying was, "Don't speak to me in this manner. Hold your peace." With authority, he commanded him to come out. What was it that the unclean spirit had said? He called him Jesus of Nazareth, tying him to his earthly bonds, trying to undermine his authority by saying, "You're not God, you're a human being." But then, he says, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Giving his reluctant assent to Jesus' authority, he said to him, "You are the Holy One of God." Jesus said, "Be silent. Don't speak on that." He says, "Come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And the people were amazed. Of course they were amazed. This is something you don't see every day. In the synagogue, they would come week after week after week to hear the word taught and expounded, and what would happen. They would take it, they'd go home, maybe meditate on it, maybe forget it. But this was something different, something they hadn't seen before, something that was unusual. And they said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." He shows his authority in his teaching. And he shows his authority in commanding the unclean spirit. Jesus is not just an authority over the Word of God, but he is the Word of God. And what he says, he does. Remember, in the very beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He commanded light to be, and it was. That's the authority of God, and that's the authority that Jesus wielded over not just the Word of God, but over all creation, including the unclean spirit. But the Greek is unclear in this. Was it a new teaching with authority, or was it with authority he commands even the unclean spirits? There's no punctuation in the Greek. We don't know. But they had already given their assent to his authority in teaching. Perhaps it means that it's his authority in commanding the unclean spirit. We're told that his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Jesus' teaching was going viral, as it were, as it could in that day. People would talk about it and talk about it. All throughout the book of Mark, he keeps telling people, "Don't tell people about me." But they would. How could they stay silent when they had seen what they had seen, when they had heard what they had heard? You know, in our church today, we tend to resist the authority of Christ. We tend to resist it. We want to tenderize the Word of God, like with this meat tenderizer. We want to beat it until it's easier to digest. We want to beat it to a pulp until we can say, "Okay, I can accept that. I don't want to accept it the way it is. It's tough. It's difficult to digest." But this is the word that we're given by God. Jesus taught with authority. There's times when I wish I could have been there to hear what he could have said. How would he have taught the word differently than the scribes and the teachers of the law, so that it made such a difference in the people's lives? They wanted to know, "What is this? A new teaching with authority," they said. When we acknowledge Jesus' authority, he spoke plainly. And there was no mistaking that he spoke as the author of the word, not just as someone who was interpreting it. There was a a movie many years ago called Back to School. Rodney Dangerfield went back to college to support his son, who was a freshman, because he had never gotten a degree himself. He was a successful businessman. But he wanted to cheat his way through. And so when he had to write a paper on Kurt Vonnegut, what he did was he hired Kurt Vonnegut to write the paper for him. Who better to write the paper on an author than the author himself? Of course, it backfired on him. The professor said, "I don't know who you got to write this paper on Vonnegut, but he obviously doesn't know anything about Kurt Vonnegut." Well, Jesus was the author. Jesus is the Word of God. And there is no mistaking His authority. And sometimes when Christ's authority is given to us, we, like that professor, will say, "You know, I don't know who you got to write this. I don't know who you got to write this Word of God, but obviously he doesn't know anything about God." You know, God's Word stands the test of time. This Word has been given to us over the millennia. Today we try to bend the Bible, to change God's Word to mean something else so that we can digest it easier. We try to tenderize it. But God's Word stands the test of time. I've heard it often said, we want to bring the Bible into the 21st century. Perhaps what we should do instead is to bring the 21st century into the Bible. We read God's Word. It stands alone. We have the opportunity to open up God's Word and have God speak directly to us through His Holy Spirit. That's the authority that we follow. Not somebody who's going to water down the Word or somebody who's going to tenderize the meat. We listen to the authority of Christ because we sit here Sunday after Sunday. We listen to God's Word read and expounded. Do we hear the authority of Christ? Do we open our hearts and our minds to hear what the Lord is saying to us? Do we take time to be silent and listen for the commands of God to guide us in our lives? Do we live our lives outside of the sanctuary as if Christ were the authority in our lives? Or do we live our lives in the way that the world says it's okay to live? What does the world offer us besides suffering and misery? The headlines are splashed with people pursuing what the world promises but doesn't deliver. Only one delivers, and that is Christ, the Son of God, God of very God, who came into the world to deliver us from sin and death. So let us turn to Him now, bow to His authority, and live for the one who died and rose again for us. Let us pray. Lord, we have heard a new teaching from Jesus, this Nazarene who speaks with authority. We have seen how Christ commands even unclean spirits to flee, and they obey Him. But Jesus calls us to exorcise demons in every form they take. God of grace and God of mercy, grant us wisdom for the facing of this hour and for all the hours and days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, it's hard to believe, but the Lenten season is already upon us, and we have some exciting worship opportunities we'd like to share with you. Our Ash Wednesday service will be held at Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn at 7 p.m. on February 18th. And every Wednesday night during Lent, we will be participating in the Community Lenten Series at Union Presbyterian Church in Carneys Point. Each Wednesday, we will gather for soup and fellowship at 6 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., we will have a short devotional based on the Psalms. It promises to be an edifying and uplifting time, so come on out and join us. And if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.